Well, can I encourage you to turn in your Bibles? We have read from Ephesians, but I want you to turn this morning to Joshua chapter 13. This is where we have reached in our series from this book. And at this point, I just want to read one verse, because much of these next chapters, and we will, God willing, come back to this actually next Sunday morning, much of the chapters 13 through to 21 are really a record of where certain people went. Joshua chapter 13 and verse 1, and this is a verse that you may or may not have thought much about before, but it's a very instructive and thought-provoking verse. Joshua 13, verse 1. When Joshua was old and well advanced in years, the Lord said to him, "You are very old, and there are still very large areas of land to be taken over." If you are reading an authorized version, the last phrase, "there remains yet much land to be possessed." There remains yet much land to be possessed. And in many ways, that is the theme that I want us to think about this morning. As I've indicated, Joshua chapter 13 through to chapter 21 basically is a description of how the land was to be allotted and divided up. And in chapter 13, we've read that first verse, and Joshua is instructed, and you see this in verse 6 actually, Joshua 13, 6, "As for all the inhabitants of the mountain regions from Lebanon to Meriphoth, Maim, that is all the Sidonians, I myself will drive them out before the Israelites. Be sure to allocate this land to Israel for an inheritance, as I have instructed you." And the principle is laid out and the word is used. I've mentioned already the word inheritance. And that word inheritance will appear again and again in these following chapters. And it's an important word, and it's an aim. And yet it's vital for us to understand that on this side of Calvary, our inheritance is not a piece of ground, a piece of land. Our spiritual inheritance is Christ. And that is why I read from Ephesians chapter 1, where Paul speaks of the Holy Spirit being a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. Our inheritance in Christ. And that's why Paul goes on in that passage, Ephesians 1:18. He says, I'm praying for you, my brothers and sisters. I'm praying that the eyes of your heart would be enlightened, that you would know the hope to which you've been called, that you would know the inheritance of the saints. The saints are the living ones, not the dead ones. The inheritance of the saints, the inheritance that you, my dear people, have in Jesus. You see, there is yet much land to be possessed. So how do we look at this this morning through the prism of the gospel and through the prism of Christ? Well, let me do it in the following way and just rehearse basically what's been happening here in Joshua. Basically what has been happening is that Joshua and the people had entered in to their inheritance. Chapters 1, 2, 3, and 4 of Joshua basically describe how the people had entered in. And we're not going into it this morning. We've covered this in the past, but there was the whole consecrate yourselves because you're going to enter in to what God has for you. There was the whole crossing over of the Jordan. And in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that is how we enter in to what God has for us. Every single time the gospel is preached, a call is issued, certainly should be issued, for people to enter in to the experience of salvation. We sometimes sing these hymns which very, very pointedly and very wonderfully call people to enter in, just as I am, without one plea. But that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee. O Lamb of God, I come to enter in to the experience. No use just listening and hearing. We have to enter in. There needs to be that decisive coming to Christ, coming to Jesus in repentance and faith. Out of my bondage, we sang last week, out of my bondage, sorrow and night, Jesus, I come. Jesus, I come. Another hymn that I've been thinking about recently, which we don't actually sing much, but that could change. I've wandered far away from God. Now I'm coming home. The paths of sin too long I've trod. Lord, I'm coming home. There may well be someone sitting here this morning, and the Spirit points into your heart, and you hear yet again the call to respond, the call to come home, the call to enter in. And today, I say to you, as I said to a group of men yesterday, today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. They had entered in. Have you entered in to the gospel savingly? But they had also been given the victory. If Joshua chapters 1 to 4 speak of the entering in, Joshua's chapters 5 through to 12 speak about the taking of the land and the many battles that were fought and the victories that were given. It all started in Jericho, and then there were many other places. Yes, there were setbacks along the way, but there were also extraordinary victories. Not because of the cleverness of Joshua and the people, but by the amazing grace of God. For example, chapter 6, the Lord says to Joshua, "See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, Joshua." Chapter 11, verse 6, "Don't be afraid of them, Joshua, because by this time tomorrow I will hand all of them over to you." Joshua, I'm going before you. Yes, you have to fight many a battle, and it's many a struggle, and there's many a tear. But Joshua, I'll give you the victory. And that is why, in many ways, I chose that little chorus this morning. For I'm walking in faith and victory. The truth of the matter is, sometimes we're not doing that. But more of that in a moment. And you know, for the Christian believer, we know the gospel-centered truth of the words of the psalmist, Psalm 20 and verse 7. And this was a word that came to Joshua as well in another way. "Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God." And you know, folks, that is always the case. People today put their trust in a whole lot of things. A whole lot of things that seem to be pretty dependable, and it all comes round them. The only dependable thing in this world is the Lord our God. And you know, we live in very uncertain days, and all the stuff that's going on in our own country, all the stuff about Brexit, all the stuff about Trump, all the stuff about this, that, and the other thing. And you know, the truth of the matter is that all of this stuff will come and go. But it's only those who are really trusting in the Lord that will be on solid ground. That's the truth of the matter. Don't trust in all this other stuff. Don't put your trust in it, because it'll let you down. And it'll let you down with a bang. Some trust in chariots and some in horses. But we will trust in the name of the Lord our God. And you know, in your daily battles with the world and the flesh and the devil, there is victory in Jesus. Let me say that. There is victory in Christ. Tonight, we come to that amazing chapter 12 of Revelation. And it teaches us about this great conflict that's going on. And we feel that tug of war. But in the midst of that chapter tonight, we'll be noticing how they overcame him. How? By the blood of the Lamb. By the word of their testimony. How's your testimony this morning, brother and sister? How's your testimony? Has it been torn apart by something? Get back to the Lord and know the victory. But here's the heart of what we noticed this morning. They had entered in. They had been given the victory, and now they were to take possession. Joshua chapter 13 and verse 1 begins this whole series of chapters. There remains yet very much land to be possessed, Joshua. There's much land to be possessed. Yes, Joshua was an old man. We're told that in the text. Was it not time to step back? And maybe we could all come up with reasons to step back and take things a little bit more easily. Yes, I agree, we all need times of rest. Of course we do. Times to recharge the batteries. Of course we all do. But there's a difference between that and stepping right back from the fight. And the devil always tempts us, I believe, to step back. You've done your bit. Step back. Let somebody else do it. And we need to hear again the word of the apostle in Philippians 3. And I've always been struck over the years by those words of the apostle Paul. I want to know Christ. He says, Paul, you do know Christ. Oh, I want to know him more. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and fellowship in his sufferings. Not that I've already obtained all this, says Paul. But I press on to take hold of that for which Christ took hold of me. And then Paul says, brothers, I want you to listen to this. I don't consider myself yet to have taken hold of it all, but one thing I do know, and one thing I do, forgetting what is past and straining towards what is ahead of me, I press on. I press on. And just in the remainder of the time that I have, I want to try and apply that. It is really important for you to see this morning this call in the gospel to press on. As I've always said, and no doubt others have said it along with me, to take the attitude, well, you know what, I was saved 30 years ago and I'm just happy the way I'm at. That is not the biblical gospel. That is not the gospel. The gospel is, yes, you need to be saved, but you need to press on with the Lord. You need to keep going on with him. New heights I'm gaining every day. But the truth of the matter is, that's not true for a lot of people. So how can we apply this? Well, let me apply it in a few ways. Possessing the land in spiritual terms. Maybe in your understanding and experience. Let me use just a couple of practical examples here. What I now say is aimed in my head, and maybe practically the Spirit will take this, consider a younger person. Younger people, listen up. This may be a word from the Lord for you. Consider a younger person who's bright and ambitious. At one point they've made some kind of profession of faith, but some of their unbelieving friends have got to them. Under their skin. And they now are troubled with doubts and fears about faith in the Lord Jesus. And I want to say to any young people for whom that may be applicable, even in a vague way, I challenge you this morning from the Word of God to press on with the Lord Jesus Christ. I challenge you this morning to go home and get down on your knees and say, Lord, I'm really struggling with this, and these friends are getting to me, and they're laughing at me, and they're giving me a bit of a hard time because they knew I was at church yesterday and all the rest of it. Lord, help me with that. Lord, help me through that. And if there is a particular issue that maybe people are wondering about, and again, I just throw that up almost in passing. There's plenty of fantastic material out there. The devil doesn't want you to know this, by the way. Wonderful material that gives really profound, strong reasons as to why you can believe in God in the 21st century. There's two examples. The Reason for God, Tim Keller, and Why I Believe by D. James Kennedy, which was a wonderful help to me as a young Christian. If you're more into the web, you can look up some of those. Those are just two examples of many that I could have put up. BeThinking.org, ReasonableFaith.org. Young Christian, there is yet much land to be possessed. Do not allow the evil one to subtly pull you away. There's much land still to be possessed. Another example. Maybe you're here this morning and maybe for some different reason you're struggling with life. Maybe struggling to come to terms with things that are going on in your own life at the moment, or something that has happened in the past, or something that's about to happen in the future. And without in any way, as a pastor, minimizing the trials and the struggles of life, I want to say to you in a gentle spirit, my dear sister, my dear brother, yet there remains much land still to be possessed. And it's my prayer for each and every one who maybe at times sits under a spirit of despair, that God would give you that spirit and that garment of praise. Why? Because we are called to press on. Because we were singing that hymn, I'm pressing on the upward way. Because we were singing those words, my heart has no desire to stay, where doubts arise and fears dismay, though some may dwell where there these abound. My prayer and my aim is higher ground. God grant that all of us would have that in our understanding and in our experience. But here's another way that we can maybe can apply this in your own personal walk with the Lord, folks. How's your walk with the Lord this morning? How's your taking time with the Lord in the midst of the busyness of life? And of course, I understand it's busy. I also live in the real world. How's your taking time to carve out a moment with God around His Word? Wasn't it John Wesley's mother? And she had a large family. And she sometimes, in the midst of the busyness of life, used to take a kind of a cloth that sat in the kitchen and pulled it over her head. You maybe don't want to do that, but that was, and when the children saw that, they knew that Susanna, their mummy, taking time with God. And what a profound influence that woman had on John Wesley, and what a profound influence John Wesley had on this nation of which we are a part. I remember the late James Phillip, highly esteemed minister of Holyrood Abbey in Edinburgh, saying this, and I quote what he said. He said, "It is very possible for Christians to live in the shallows in this respect instead of probing deeply into the riches of the divine word of God." And he says this, and he gave a wee insight into something that happened. He says, "We remember the dismay and disquiet we experienced." This was one day in church. "When a young student confessed frankly that he often switched off early in the sermon when the subject matter was something he was not very interested in." Great dismay that such a thing would happen. Profound lack of understanding in that young person's heart as to what is actually happening when the preaching of the word takes place. It is not the opinions of James Phillip or Stephen Johnston that is being proclaimed. It is the very word of God. And let him or her who has ears to hear what God is saying. And Philip went on to say, that sort of attitude, sitting loose to the word of God, either daily or at church, is how arrested development comes in the spiritual life, and spiritual handicap that leads to permanent disability. Unquote. Folks, how's your personal walk? Are you dallying through the Christian life and knowing no blessing? And here's the last thing I want to say. Your influence and your example. And remember the point that I'm trying to get across here. There remains yet much land to be possessed. In your life, in my life, there's much yet to be done. Listen to these quotations, just a few that I have pulled together. I want you to really listen to this. I'm almost finished, but please listen carefully to this. Thinking about your influence, your example, day by day. Somebody once said, a good example is the best sermon. Thomas Carlyle once said, one example is worth a thousand arguments. D.L. Moody famously said, more depends on my walk than talk. Somebody once said, I don't know who it was, the most important thing a father can do for his children is to love their mother. Profound. And Roland Hill once said this, and I like this. He said, I would give nothing for that man's religion whose very dog and cat are not the better for it. I like that. And it makes me think of a man that I once knew in the south of Ireland who, when he was stood up to testify, he spoke about the farmers that he worked for and the way that they treated the animals. And it spoke to his heart about the gospel. You see, your example, your influence is profoundly important. More than you and I will ever understand. And the type of person you will be tomorrow morning at 10:30
will speak volumes about whether your profession of faith this morning is real or just a bit of a farce.
Tell me, and I finish with this, what is your example and your influence at home? At work? In your business? In your club? In your lodge? In your church? In your neighborhood? Is it something that brings glory to God and the honor of Christ? There remains yet much land to be possessed. My heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay. Though some may dwell where these abound, my prayer, my aim, is higher ground. Let us pray. Father, how true it is, there remains yet much land to be possessed. Lord, forgive us for our failures. Forgive us for the times that we've really made a complete hash of it. But Lord, we thank you that the blood of Jesus Christ is able to cleanse us afresh right now as we look to him and to wipe the slate clean and to send us forth with that desire to press on. Lord, hear our prayer because we ask it in the Savior's name. Amen.